Hello and welcome back to the Second City podcast. I'm Callum Byrne, joined as always by Dan Sketchley. Hello, Dan.
All right, Cal. Long time no see.
I know it's been barely 24 hours since I last saw you.
Yeah, what's it been? It's been about 20 hours probably.
Yeah.
So we, as we mentioned last week, we had a fun weekend at the we went to the EFL Trophy Final, or the Bristol Street Motors
Street
Trophy
Motors.
Final, as it's known now. Formerly the Papa John's Trophy, formerly
Checkatrade
Trophy. Of course, it was once, as those watching on YouTube will see, it was once the Auto Windscreens Trophy. I'm wearing a blue shirt with an Auto Windscreens sponsor. Of course, Blues won it when it was the Auto Windscreens. We won it in 91 and 95, as I kept telling Callum and Will yesterday.
Yes.
Blues have won this trophy twice. What were your thoughts on the... on the day? So for context, Callum lives in Wickham now.
Yeah.
And so you were able to sort tickets for us. So we kind of went for the day out. What did you think of it all? What did you think of it all?
Very different to all my other trips to Wembley.
Yeah.
Except for the result, because as I've told you quite a few times, my Wembley record is atrocious. I think I've been to Wembley 8 times and I've seen 2 wins for the team that I've been supporting, and that's including yesterday. So results wise, it was as expected. I expected Wickham to lose. But yeah, obviously the capacity was quite a bit down. There's only like 15,000 Wickham fans, and like the total capacity was just over 42.
I think it was 42, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was basically Villa Park. The capacity of Villa Park was inside Wembley yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I don't mind that the capacity thing, I think, is fine, because it's obviously they are two smaller clubs. It's just interesting. Obviously, I don't think you have ever been to a game in that competition. I don't think I've ever watched a game in that competition. I don't know. It's interesting. It was weird, like, 'cause it was a cup final. And like when Peterborough scored, so for context, the game was 0-0 until the 85th minute. And then Peterborough went 1-0 up in the 85th minute. And then Wickham equalised with a banger in the 89th minute. A wicked, it's like a half volley. And then in the 92nd minute, Peterborough scored. If you have not seen it, go check it out. It's on Sky Sports Football's YouTube page. The Peterborough winner is bizarre. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's
a mishit cross.
It's a mishit cross.
But it's like...
It's got shades of, like, you know, Papis Cisse against Chelsea. Not quite like that, but it's that sort of weird, the wind just carries it in and it, like...
It's a really weird goal, and he obviously never meant it, but it might still be one of the best goals I've ever seen live. It was unreal.
Yeah, we were pretty speechless afterwards. So it was kind of strange, because, like, the Peterborough, when that went in, the Peterborough end was, like, mental, you know, they were going, like, crazy and stuff. But then, like, it's sort of weird, like, coming out, like, there was, like, Wickham fans around us. Like, I heard a lot of, like, oh, well, you know, we played well, you know. And I'm like, what? Like, if I'd, like, just lost the cup final, I'd be, like, devastated. So I'm not really sure where the EFL trophy stands to clubs like that. I don't really know. But, no, it was interesting. And, like, the sort of, I think you or Will said it was like being at a stag do at times. Like, I don't know, like, rather than like a cup final. But,
I've never been sat down at a cup final, especially in the lower tiers.
Yeah, and we sat down
I've never been sat down.
Sat down for pretty much the whole thing as well.
Pretty much the entire Wickham section was all sat down, apart from this tiny bit of, say, standing that they've now got at Wembley.
And there was that weird group at the front that were like right behind the goal that were like,
To make an atmosphere. And
yeah, but it felt like, do you remember at the Qatar World Cup, like whenever Qatar played, there was a group right behind the goal that were clearly put there by whoever, the powers that be, to like make an atmosphere get going. It kind of looked more like that, to be honest. But no, fun day out nonetheless. I haven't been to a game at Wembley since the League Cup final, Blues-Arsenal 2011.
I have one more highlight from yesterday as well, Dan. Before we move on from the EFL trophy, is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in a football stadium, which is shoes off if you love Wickham, and everyone started putting their shoes in the air. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, we were snobby.
The game's gone.
We didn't take part, did we?
No.
Will did. Will took
in
part.
Fairness, we were both in Converse. It was much more hassle
it's more
to
difficult.
Take your shoe off.
That's true. That's very true. It's funny though, we were kind of comparing it to, like, is it In Sunderland Till I Die? When I can't remember. There was that season which is covered in it where they play Portsmouth twice at Wembley. And
yeah,
then
that's
once
the
is
EFL
in the,
trophy.
yeah, once is the EFL trophy and once is the playoffs. And I can't remember which one this is, but like obviously Sunderland lose both games. And it cuts to like a Sunderland fan. I think it's after the EFL trophy. And she's like, why is it never us? Why do we, like, she's like crying. It's kind of, we're sort of parodying that on the way out as Wickham lost to Peterborough. Why is it never us? But no, yeah, go check out the winning goal. It's absolutely outrageous. Hell of a way to win a final. And I didn't realise Alex Ferguson was at the game as well. Yeah, because obviously Darren Ferguson's the Peterborough manager. But anyway, that was the EFL trophy. This week, obviously Blues played. I went to another game on Saturday, actually. I went to Leicester away with Blues on Saturday, so we'll get into that. Villa played on Saturday as well, didn't you? You played Brentford.
We played Brentford and we played Manchester City in midweek as well. So we've
Oh,
got two Villa games to cover,
of course, yeah.
unfortunately.
Yes, yeah, morale is low in the camp today. Other than the EFL trophy saved us this week, I think. Yeah, then we'll talk about all them, a little bit of housekeeping, and then we'll get into the upcoming games for this week, because there's a double game week for us this week. So yeah, cool. Shall we start then with what we're wearing, as we always do?
Yeah, we've both gone semi-retro this week as well.
Oh, I'm a lot
Well,
more retro
you're
than
more
you,
retro
but
than I am, but
yeah.
let's guess yours first. I feel like we haven't done that in a while.
Sure.
So as we mentioned earlier, auto windscreens. It's
Yeah.
Le Coq Sportif, mostly plain blue, but with this nice white V-neck and white cuffs as well, with a bit of blue detailing. As I think on another shirt you had, I think it might have been the Phones for You one you had a few weeks ago. The badge is in like a weird oval shield as well. It was very of that era, I think, which is late 90s, because on one of the Villa shirts I had a few weeks ago was the shield in a shield. So we're going to go around 98, 99 home.
Only a couple of years off. This is the 2000-2001 shirt. First new kit of the millennium this was for us. Most famous this season, and I thought it'd be appropriate to get it on. Speaking of the Wembley heart or cup final heartache that we had this weekend, thought I'd get it on because this was the year that Blues. So despite being a, it was at the time the first division, which is now the Championship. Despite being a Championship team, Blues got to the League Cup final this season, and played Liverpool, and Liverpool won a weird. So unfortunately, Liverpool won the game, and they won a weird treble this year. I think it was League Cup, FA
UEFA
Cup,
Cup.
UEFA Cup, yeah, which is a bit unusual. But yeah, so I was trying to think of that. It's like mad now. That's like if Blues got to a cup final now and played like, Man United or something, it'd be pretty mad, it'd be pretty crazy. Unfortunately, I don't have any memory of the game itself. Kind of, obviously we were born, but we were very young at the time. And what's even crazier is Blues went 1-0 down. I think it was Robbie Fowler scored in the first half with an outrageous goal. And this game was at the Millennium Stadium as well, because the old Wembley was being demolished to make way for the new one. And then Blues got a penalty, hung in there and got a penalty in the 90th minute, and Darren Purse stepped up and scored it. And that must have been bedlam. That must have been absolutely crazy. That's the equivalent of like. Was Darren Purse a centre back? I think it was. Correct me if I'm wrong. Again, a little bit before my time. That's the equivalent of like Blues playing Man United at Wembley in the Carling Cup final, and like Deion Sanderson stepping up and bagging a penalty in the last minute. That'd be all like Mark Roberts. Stepping up and scoring a penalty must have been pretty mad. And then Blues were famously really robbed of in extra time. They had a second penalty appeal turned down, which is every bit as crazy as the first. I think even the most biased of Liverpool fan would agree looking back. But obviously we went back and won it 10 years later, so there's that at least. But there's also a great video from that day of the teams like shaking hands and right after the national anthem and stuff. And you can sort of hear it's like Keep Right On and You'll Never Walk Alone are both sort of drowning each other out. But you can just like there's one bit where You'll Never Walk Alone is a lot more prominent, and then kind of segues into Keep Right On, becomes a lot louder. It's really an amazing video, amazing sense of atmosphere. I believe my uncle and my granddad went to that game. I believe I seem to remember them saying, but yeah, looked like a crazy game. Otherwise, this season, side note, apparently the semi-final, we beat Ipswich. I think it was we beat them 4-1 in the second leg at home to reach the final. Andy Johnson scored a famous goal where the keeper kind of air kicked, the ball's rolling back to the keeper and he kind of air kicks it, just completely mistimes. It takes a bobble and it mistimes it and it leaves Andy Johnson, can run clean through and score. It's a great goal, looked like an amazing night. But yeah, in the league this year, we finished fifth. It was Trevor Francis's last full season as Blues manager. And we got knocked out by Preston in the playoff semi-final, unfortunately. There was a run of a few years where we kept getting into the playoffs, but just didn't get over the line until the following year, which is when we did get promoted. And despite all what must have been a pretty great season on the whole, despite a lot of near misses, our top scorer was Jeff Horsfield, who only scored 7 goals. So we didn't really have a prolific goal scorer. But sounded like a pretty successful season on the whole, despite a bit of heartache. And as for the kit, I think it's absolutely wicked. It's really simple. I love these sort of more baggy, sort of 90s, noughties kits. Yeah, lovely. Really simple. Really like it.
What do you think of this one? This is, I believe, the last shirt of mine that I had as a child that still fits me. So it's like
I was gonna say,
it
looks a bit,
XL. I think it's a junior XL. It's basically the equivalent, I guess, of a men's small, near enough. And it's the last shirt, maybe. That has my name on the back.
Oh, Burn 6.
Yeah, a weird number choice, because the number I would have had was 26, but obviously this is back in a day where you had to pay per letter and number. So I can only have one number, so I had to make a decision, and 6 always seemed like a nicer number than 2 to have on the back of the shirt, so we went with 6.
Smart. Well, it's a Nike shirt. It looks like there's a bit of a checkered pattern on it. No sponsor on this one. Would have been a sponsor in real life.
There would have been a sponsor. Yeah, so there's
Because it's a kids kit?
Yes, so the sponsor would have been Genting Casinos, I believe.
Yeah, so kind of betting sponsors on them. And the shoulder, the claret's kind of going all the way over the shoulder. I think it is... early 2010s. I'm going to say 20... Oh, I'm going to say 2011-12, I'm going to say.
You've gone and got it.
Oh, nice. I was thinking of going a year later, but yeah.
Yeah, 2011,
I can imagine like Darren Bent playing in that.
Yes, Darren Bent did play in this kit, yeah. So this would have been the one and only season of Alex McLeish. Obviously, I didn't know we were doing our Second City stories on McLeish back when I was away at the start of the season, so this shirt never actually got its wear on that episode. So we're giving it its run out today. So we finished 16th in the Premier League, obviously narrowly avoiding relegation. It was a pretty bad season, mostly because, as we spoke about in that Second City story, a lot of the off-the-field issues really spilled onto the pitch in terms of there was so much negativity in the stands. It really didn't help us on the pitch. Darren Bent, as you said, played for us. He was our top scorer in the league. He only scored 9 goals. We stayed up.
Did he not come in the January?
That was the year before under Gerard Houllier. So obviously this is when the money at Villa really started to dry up, as Randy Lerner was starting to kind of pull his investment a little bit. So so we won 7 games all season. We were actually unbeaten in our opening 7 games, and we won 2 matches, which were against Blackburn and Wigan. So to think we only won like 5 more games all season is quite crazy. And our last win, so on the 21st of January, we obviously had that famous win away at Wolves where Robbie Keane, who just come in on a short-term loan, scored twice. We only won 1 more game until the end of the season, and that was in the middle of March, and we went on a really bad run. We famously, this season, drew so many games. We drew 17 matches and squeaked to 38 points, and we stayed up by 2 points. So a really poor season. Famously, we did beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. We won 3-1. Stephen Ireland, Stylian Petrov, all scored. Did Michael Brighton get one as well, maybe? But yeah, a really bad season, but a lovely shirt. Our night kits in this era were just, it was just like hit after hit after hit. They were just really, really good. Although I wasn't so big on the away shirt for this year. It's basically the same template, just white and claret rather than claret and blue. But it was maybe more of a burgundy than a claret. It just didn't really quite work for me. And obviously because they kept the checkerboard, there was like almost like a, not really a navy, but it was like a grey blue for the dark checker. So it was close, but no cigar. But the home shirt, absolutely love. And I think it was at that the same sort of year, maybe might have been the year after Man United, who had Nike at the time, had a checkerboard home shirt as well, which was a really nice Man United shirt. But yeah, that's 11-12 home.
Remarkable that you stayed up with less points than we went down with the year before. So rough few years for Alex McLeish, I think.
38 points now and you'd be comfortable in the Premier League. Yeah. It's just the way that it's changed.
Cool. Shall we get into the games then?
Yes.
We'll start with you then, because you played twice this week.
Yes. So we played Manchester City on Wednesday. Also, as well, if you want to jump around the podcast as we go, there should be timestamps in the description on YouTube or on the podcast. I know on Apple Podcasts in particular, you can jump around quite easily if you're only interested in hearing the Villa or the Blues. But you should listen to both. Yes, Manchester City away. I wasn't very hopeful going into the game. I wasn't very hopeful when the team news came out. I wasn't very hopeful when the updated team news came out. But I was hopeful at halftime. But yes, unfortunately, we went on to lose 4-1. A game where we made quite a lot of changes. Some were enforced through injury, like Ollie Watkins. We rested players like Yuri Tielemans, Pau Torres, Leon Bailey. Emi Martinez had a stomach bug, so he had to pull out after being originally named in the starting 11. So the team that we kind of put out is the sort of team you'd expect us to like kind of name in the third round of the Cup. Like, it's no disrespect to those players, but it certainly wasn't our strongest 11. I know Manchester City made changes as well, but I mean, they still had Foden, Rodri, you know, Alvarez, Grealish. You know, you still look at their team and go, well, that team could win the league. So my three-word match review for this match, I'm going to give it a good effort. I think under the circumstances of the side that we put out, I think, you know, for at least 60, 70 minutes, they were well in the game. Obviously, they went a goal down very early on, and it was quite worrying that first 10 minutes. Grew into the game, scored a really well-worked goal between Zaniolo, Rodgers, and Duran, who finished it off to put us 1-1. And then right on half-time, we give away a silly free kick. Zaniolo kind of, it's not just him, because Konsa, and I think it's Diego Carlos, the ball basically splits, which is criminal at this level. And Phil Foden scores his first of the night. 2-1 down at halftime, but a bit of hope that maybe we can still get back into the game. But just as we were making the changes on the hour mark to bring on the likes of Leon Bailey, I think Moussa Diaby was coming on. Yuri Tielemans was coming on then. We conceded the second, and the game was 3-1 at that point, and there was no real way we were going to get back into it. So we sort of swapped those changes around a bit. We brought Callum Chambers on just to keep resting players, really. And unfortunately, he did make a mistake for the fourth goal, that Phil Foden's hat-trick. It was a good effort from the lads that were out there. I thought Tim Mirigabunim did a semi-decent job in a very tough match. I thought Morgan Rogers, Zaniolo and Duran were very impressive in the first half, especially. So I'm going to give John Duran my man of the match, but I can't grade it more than a D. We lost 4-1. But maybe a bit harsh, but ultimately we did lose 4-1. Yeah, there's not much more to say. I said it was a free hit last week. We kind of treated it like a free hit, I think it's fair to say. I would have liked to have seen a full-strength Villa side go out, because I do think that we could have got something maybe on another night if we'd have played as well as I know we can play and with our strongest 11. But I kind of understand some of the changes, and some of them, as I said, were enforced. So, yeah, sweep that one under the rug and... let's move on.
Fair enough. Interesting, because you still got to play Arsenal, and you're playing Arsenal this weekend. We'll get onto that. And you got to play
Yeah.
Liverpool still as well, haven't you?
Yeah,
So,
they're our last home game of the season.
cool. So yeah, you get a big say in the title race this year as we go into it. They'll definitely look at you as a team to where they may drop points as well. Obviously, not much room for them to be doing that between now and the end of the season. So you played one of the big boys in the Premier League. We played one of the big boys in the Championship. We had Leicester away. Third time we played them this season now, because we played them in the we played them under Rooney at home, lost 3-2, and then we played them in the FA Cup under Mowbray as well, and actually played well both times. We were actually unfortunate to lose both games. And I actually went with for my first away day of 2024, and so we lost 2-1 to a late goal as well. Mavididi scored again against us, but. It felt really frustrating. Leicester are clearly a much better team. They keep the ball a lot better. There were spells of the game where they just keep the ball for ages and ages and ages. But the difference between, I don't know, eras gone by and like games this season and now, how much the players put into it, I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. The players really fought for it. Like, and you can, it's what I associate with like the Rowett team from like, you know, what, how many, however many years ago it was, 7 or 8 years ago. That like character and that like just throwing your body on the line no matter what. And so what I think we maybe lacked in quality at times, like we dawdled on the ball a lot, and I don't know, I think at times you can tell players have clearly had multiple sets of instructions on what to do from various different managers across the season. Like, not to pick on him or anything, but like Ivo didn't have his best game, and you know, highly doubt we'll be at Blues next season. Like there's times he'd get the ball and he'd would be moving out with it, and it's like you just didn't know what to do with it. He'd be really hesitant on it, he'd sit on it for ages. Not literally, of course, but and that's the frustrating thing. Like, so our build up play would be really slow, and we really had to take advantage of what limited chances we would have. We went 1-0 down fairly early on, but then we equalized right before half time. An absolutely mad goal. The keeper's gone to just boot the ball downfield, and Jay Stansfield's just charged him down, stuck his right leg out at the last minute. It's hit off him, and pop, and he scored right on the stroke of half time. There was a bit of a weird like delay in the celebration in the away end.
Will it be
As a
your
result,
goal of the month?
well,
Will it get your vote?
it's the first goal. Is it the first goal? No, I know the second goal was scored in April. No, sorry. It won't even be Jay Stansfield's goal of the month, unfortunately. But brilliant play from him, nonetheless. Brilliant, like. Just that, why not charge him down, give it a go? He closes him down, gets really lucky, hits off him, goes in the net. Leicester have totally, basically just thrown the ball in their own net right before half time. And so, yeah, terrific way to get back into the game. Completely changes the half time team talk and everything, of course. And then the second half was kind of a lot of Leicester. We didn't have many clear cut chances after that. They had a lot of possession. Shout out to, in particular, I thought Ruddy was excellent. I thought Sanderson, who comes in for a bit of flack at times, but that was, in my opinion, that was a captain's performance from him. He gave everything. So did Buchanan, who was at left back. Them three in particular were excellent. It was down the opposite end to us that Leicester were attacking second half, but they had a chance. And how it was like sort of the ball seemed to be just sort of pinging about in the 6 yard box. And it looked like I watched Sky Sports highlights back and it didn't seem to be in there. But it looked like Sanderson and Buchanan just absolutely like just literally threw themselves on it. It was like, do you remember, was it the World Cup in South Africa where there's that famous clip of like John Terry where he's like diving like head first to
Yeah.
like just keep the ball out? It wasn't like literally that, but it was that level of commitment.
Putting your
And I
life on
think
the line.
so the players really fought for it. They were and they deserve a lot of credit for that. Rowett deserves a lot of credit for getting that out of them again. And then typically we do all this brilliant defending. Ruddy has a great game. Obviously, we give away a free header in the 6 yard box. Mavididi scores it. Leicester win 2-1. Obviously, they get so despite the really bad month they've had, they're now top with a game in hand.
Yeah, because all the results went their way this weekend as well.
Yeah, so Leeds lost and Ipswich lost.
Yeah.
So really hard to take because I thought the players deserved that. I know we lost, but because of how good the performance was, like, just I appreciate just the effort that they put in, and you could feel the sort of deflation in the away end. It was quite positive up until that winner. I'm going to give it a B for that. No shame in losing to Leicester, although we have lost to them 3 times this season. I'm going to give it a B. My 3-word match review, I'm going to say, harsh but fair, I guess. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Harsh, but Leicester are clearly a better team. But it was a sucker punch. So yeah, harsh but fair. And my man of the match, it could be any of Sanderson, Buchanan, and or Ruddy. I'm gonna give it to Sanderson. I've been bigging him up, and I thought he was excellent. He comes in for a bit of stick, and obviously he's been out of the team with like suspension and injuries a bit lately. But he was really, really good. One of his best performances of the season, in my opinion. But you could flip a coin, and that could be him or Buchanan. So yeah, I'm gonna give it there. Give it to them.
Obviously,
hard to take.
Yeah, and there was a late goal in another match as well for Huddersfield, which has obviously put you in the bottom three as well.
Yeah, so kind of brings us on to the feeling of it always and how your emotions in football can change so quick. Because with a few minutes, so Leicester scored in the 88th minute. We were, before that, just about out of the relegation zone, despite the fact that Rotherham had been beaten by Plymouth earlier in the day. So Plymouth had won. Sheffield Wednesday won, I think, and Huddersfield won as well. Despite that, it was still quite a positive day on the whole still, just about keeping us out. But now we find ourselves in the bottom three with five games left. So it is dangerous times, man. It is concerning. And I've said this, that if we do go down at the end of the season, and it is a very, very real possibility now, if we do go down, it's not because we lost away at Leicester in April. And I can see us playing well and picking up points between now and the end of the season. And I think I do think Rowett will get something out of us, continue to get something out of this team. But there is a very realistic chance that it may just not be quite enough. And that would be such a shame. You know, this would have been sown months ago. You know, this relegation that we would have been sentenced to our fate months ago. So it'd be such a huge shame because we're not out of it yet. We've got a huge game against Cardiff on Wednesday, which we'll get onto. We've got a derby against Coventry, and then we have two enormous games away at Rotherham and Huddersfield. They are huge, huge, huge games. I'm going to the Rotherham game, so I'm looking forward to that. Dangerous days, man. Panicky times, I've got to say. The only good thing about some of them teams I mentioned winning was they beat. So that meant, I can't remember who was playing who, I mean, QPR and Millwall both lost as well. So they've kind of been brought a little bit more back into it now. So there's still every chance that they could go down now. But yeah, dangerous days, man.
Right. We also played at 3 o'clock on Saturday as well. It's been a while since we both played at the same time. We had Brentford at home, and man, we saw the best and we saw the absolute worst of Aston Villa on Saturday. We drew 3-3, having comfortably led by 2-0 just after the break. Ollie Watkins put us ahead just before half time. Morgan Rogers got his first assist against Manchester City, now got his first goal against Brentford. Wonderful goal, really well worked. And then we just switched off and we were a bit lazy, a bit lethargic. And as for some reason, we love conceding goals between minute 45 and 60. I think we just about conceded 2 goals in 2 minutes, just on the hour mark. All of a sudden it's 2-2, shell shocked. And then we conceded a third. Some of the defending the first goal is bad defending and then very unlucky. Zanka or Jorgensen, depending on what you want to call him, has gone to like score as the cross has come in. He's missed it with the foot he's swung a boot at. It's hit his standing leg and gone in. So that's an annoying one to concede. But then the defending for the other two is really, really, really bad. We're not picking up markers. We're not stopping the cross. It's just I lost for words, really, that, you know, we've let some poor goals in this year, but I mean, to let 3 goals in, 3 very avoidable goals, 2 of them within 2 minutes, you know, you always see Unai Emery on the sideline, you know, if we go behind or if all of a sudden the game has turned and we're under a lot of pressure, and he's just there saying, calm down, slow it down, calm down, get your composure back. And sometimes we just don't do that. I mean, absolute mess. So that was the worst of Aston Villa, but we also saw the best in Aston Villa to go 2-0 up and also to get back into the game and salvage a point. And so we got Ollie Watkins to thank for a, The equalizing goal, very good header. But it's definitely felt like 2 points dropped this weekend. It feels like a loss. My three-word match review for this match was Stoke 2009 again, or Stoke 09 again. Because going back to the Martin O'Neill days, I would have worn that shirt, by the way, for this tangent to work, but I don't own it. So we were so we sat we had a European game in the midweek against CSKA in Moscow. Martin O'Neill basically sacrificed the game. We lost away in Moscow. We played the kids because we wanted to focus on qualifying for the Champions League in the top four. I think we were fourth at the time, or we might have been fifth. We were right on the bubble. And we had Stoke on the Saturday or the Sunday. And we went 2-0 up. John Carew scored an unbelievable goal. It's one of the best goals in Premier League history. You'll see them wheel it out once a year on the Premier League Twitter account. Amazing goal. And in late on in the last 10 minutes, we threw the game away and drew 2-2. And it was we never really recovered from it. We threw away a great opportunity to go very deep in the UEFA Cup, and then we didn't qualify for the Champions League, and we went on this bad run. It felt like that game, just in terms of we threw away the Manchester City game in midweek. We rested loads of players. We had injuries, yes, but we rested a lot of other players and just sort of sacrificed the game. Hope we don't get smashed to focus on this game and to therefore throw the game away in very similar fashion and only bring away a point. It did feel like I was going back in time a little bit. So I hope. This Villa team is better than that Martin O'Neill Villa team, and so I do hope that they will move on from that. Obviously, we're still in Europe, which we'll come on to a bit later. But yeah, very, very tough one to take, really. But it is what it is. The pressure is now all on Tottenham. They are favourites for the top four. They've got three. They're level on points. They've got the game in hand. They're above us, so we can only focus on ourselves, really. So I'm going to grade. It's hard to grade the game because it really was 10 minutes of madness cost us the game. So I'm going to give it a C because for the rest of the game, we were the dominant team. And if there was a team that was going to win the game, it was going to be us, apart from that 10-minute spell where we let three goals in. So yeah, give it a C. Man of the match would be Ollie Watkins, obviously. So yeah, it just makes the next week absolutely huge. Yeah, it is what it is, I suppose.
Fair enough. What did you make of Ollie Watkins' comment that Villa lack big club mentality, was what he said.
I think he was absolutely right.
Fair
And
enough.
I don't think there's anything to overreact from it in that, you know. You look at, you know, we've spoken about this year. I've said it a lot. We let too many goals in. We've not kept enough clean sheets. We've conceded the same, or we've conceded the same, or just in that game, we've conceded more goals this year than we did in the entirety of last season. We still got, well, a fair few
Got about
games to
seven
go,
games left, haven't you?
7 games left or something. So I've known for a while we've conceded a lot of goals this year. You know, the teams that are at the top of the league fighting, you know, to make that step, you see these games out. You might have the odd blip here and there, but you know, it's not the first time it's happened this year where we've thrown away a 2-goal lead. Did it at Man United, we did it at Luton, we did it against Burnley, we did it against Forest. And sooner or later, you're gonna get caught out. We got caught out against Man United, we got caught out against Brentford. So we just have to hope that we actually learn from it, but it's Aston Villa, so I don't think we will. But it's important not to be too low in the lows and maybe too high in the highs. We can't be too dramatic. It's been a very good season, and it's just a blip, and we'll see what happens next. So, obviously, just before the Brentford game on Saturday, we had the bad and maybe not too unexpected news, maybe that Jacob Ramsey is now out for the season. It's a shame because I think in the run-up to Manchester City, they posted some training pictures of him, but this foot injury that he's had since the under 21 Euros last year, it has just been an occurring problem all year. And you know, There's always a reason why I hate seeing Villa players in the England squad or going on international duty, is because, as I say every time, they either get slated on social media, they get sold off the back of it, or they get injured. And Jacob Ramsey, who really, in my opinion, should not have been in that under 21 squad, he probably almost certainly should have been in the senior England setup at the end of last season, given especially how he ended the year. Especially when they were giving pity caps out in the brief international break at the end of the season. Going to that European Championship has written off his entire season at Aston Villa. I know he's made maybe 16 appearances, most of them off the bench. He's not been fully fit for 10 of them, if we're being kind. So clearly that foot injury has come up again as he's been coming back after the Luton game. So I guess it makes sense, right off the rest of the season, the last 2 months of it, get it properly healed and come back next season. Hopefully he's still here next season. I don't particularly think we'll sell him in the summer, but I'd be very disappointed if we did, but I guess time will tell. It's a shame. But hopefully he can use the pre-season and this extra time off to really get that foot healed and come back firing next year. Obviously, the main disappointment is, as well, is because I thought he should have been in that England squad, a chance to get into the Euro squad this year. England aren't exactly stacked with central midfielders, so a missed opportunity, I guess. But the next World Cup's here soon.
So on the Blues front, so recording on Monday, the club announced today that Blues are pleased to confirm the appointment of Mike Rigg to the position of Academy Technical Director. Now, like most people, the first thing that springs to my mind is that sounds like a fake name.
Yes.
Mike Rigg. It's like, what's the Aston Martin guy called in Formula One?
Oh, Mike Crack.
Brilliant. Yes. Excuse our childish humour. But yeah, at least he's not called Mike Crack. Blues are pleased to confirm the appointment of Mike Rigg to the position of Academy Technical Director. And then the statement goes on to say that the 53-year-old, experienced in creating pathways between Academy and First Team football, joins with immediate effect and will connect with the Academy's existing leadership as they work towards the ambition of regaining Category 1 status ahead of the 25-26 season. And then CEO Gary Cook said, "Nothing is more important to the future success of this football club than the academy. That is why we have appointed Mike Rigg, a senior respected leader in the professional game. His goal is to make the academy world class, attracting the best young talent and developing them into outstanding professionals and people. He will be given the time and the necessary support to make the Birmingham City Academy revered across the globe." So yeah, obviously not too much to say on it, but interesting to see the American ownership are taking the academy very seriously. Obviously, there were some rumors under the last ownership that the academy may be even wound down effectively, which would be absolutely bizarre. Obviously, the club did get to category one academy status a few years ago, and then it was very quickly downgraded again because it wasn't being properly funded and supported and so on. So it's great to see that they want to get back to category one and that they've actually set a timestamp on it as well in public of saying before the 25-26 season. So yeah, that's very interesting. But also on the housekeeping front, so tomorrow night or the Tuesday, whenever people are listening to this, is the second Blues open house. So Blues will be streaming it live on Blues TV. And it's basically, if anyone missed what was going on with the first one, it's like an invite-only event with the members of the ownership and usually the manager to basically establish their, you know, basically a way of communicating effectively with the fans. And establish what's going on behind the scenes and open to questions and so on and establish the direction that the club is going in. So on the Blues website, the statement said, supporters will be able to watch live coverage of the second Blues open house. This one, the theme of this one is ambition. The event takes place at the Jasper Carrot Suite at St Andrews at Knighthead Park on Tuesday 9th of April. It starts at 6:30 and there's only 100 invitees in attendance. So it's great that it's being streamed on Blues TV. And it said CEO Gary Cook will be joined in person by Chairman of the Board Tom Wagner. So that's very exciting that he's there for this one as well. And other members of the club's leadership team to discuss two primary areas, infrastructure and fan experience, followed by an open floor Q&A. So it'll be really interesting to see what comes out of that one. Really interesting that Tom Wagner's going, and he's also going to be in attendance for the Cardiff game on Wednesday. So that's really cool to see, flying over from New York for that. So that nicely takes us on to previewing the Cardiff and games beyond. If we want to get into that now, Carl.
Cardiff games first, so just
Yeah.
roll straight in.
Sweet. So yeah, I mentioned Blues have got some huge games coming up, and the first of those is Cardiff at home on Wednesday night. Cardiff, I think they're 11th in the league at the minute. They are probably the most, like, they are a definitive mid-table team this year. I think they're about 11 points off playoffs, so they're not going to get playoffs. They're not going to go down. They're
Which
firmly
is a
building
marked
towards.
improvement on the last couple of years for them as well,
Yeah,
with their transfer
absolutely. Yeah.
embargoes.
Yeah, completely. Absolutely. I'd absolutely take being them right now. So weirdly, even though we are playing worse teams between now and the end of the season, like in on paper, Huddersfield and Rotherham are definitely worse teams. It's one of the most winnable games we've got because they are the only team we're playing between now and the end of the season who have got nothing to play for. Coventry are gunning for playoffs. Huddersfield, Rotherham, I suppose. Rotherham are down, aren't they? Pride, I suppose. But Huddersfield fighting for their lives. We've got Norwich on the last game of the season. They're fighting for playoffs. So at home against Cardiff, it's really on us to get something out of this game. And I actually do think we will. We played with so much more conviction against Leicester, I think, at home. And we saw what a difference the crowd made at Rowett's first home game back against Preston. I do think we'll get something. So yeah, I'm gonna go for another tight, solid rearguard display, and nick a 1-0 win is what I think will happen against Cardiff. Not taking it for granted at all, because we've seen how Blues teams can perform under pressure, and it's not always a good thing. But no, I think with everything that's on the line, I think we'll pull through. I think we need. It's hard to put like a points number on it of how many we need between now and the end of the season, because it just depends on what everyone else does. But if we can get a win on Wednesday, that'd be huge. I think if we win there, I very much hope we'd win against Rotherham in a few weeks. That's 6 points. That's a huge foundation to hopefully pick up draws elsewhere. So yeah, that's my prediction.
Then on Thursday night, I'm going back to Villa Park. We've got the first leg of our quarter final of the UEFA Europa Conference League against Lille. I've got a really tight turnaround. I was hoping to work from home and then get up to Birmingham, but it looks like I'm going to be in the office till bang on 5 o'clock, and I'm going to have to trek all
Whoa.
the way up
Blimey.
to Villa Park. I was having a look on the odds, Google Maps this morning, and it says on a bad run it'll take you 3 hours. And I went, well, that's when the
What time
game
does
kicks
kickoff?
off.
Eight,
It's about
yeah.
8 o'clock, so it's gonna be a really really tight turnaround to get up there. So big game, obviously. European quarter final. It's very, very exciting. A bit more pressure on it, I suppose, with the week that we just had, where we took 1 point from those two games. It's hard to, obviously. The first leg is very important that, we don't do anything stupid, really. But also, I think with it being the home tie, we want to win the game, really, rather than maybe the way we approached the Ajax game, which was take a 0-0 back to Villa Park and get the job done there. So, obviously, we can't, you can to a certain extent if you win 6-0, but you can't win the tie in the first leg, really. So, I think it'll be very cagey. I think it'll be very close. It's hard to know. Lille are in pretty good form. They're a good team. They are one of the favourites for this competition, as we've said before. Villa Park, under the lights, I'll say 2-1, but it's going to be a close game, and it could be a 0-0 or a 1-1 or something. There's not going to be much between the two teams at all, I don't think. So, looking forward to it, but I'm sure the nerves as the week go on will start to build a little bit. But there's excitement in there as well.
Oh no, I'd be buzzing for that night game, but huge game. I'd be all over
The
that.
fireworks will be out.
Oh yes,
It might even still be a little bit light when the
it probably
game
will be.
kicks
Yeah,
off as well, which would be really nice.
nice. Cool. And then Blues are playing 3 o'clock on Saturday. We've got Coventry. They are, I think, they're seventh at the minute, so they're absolutely going hell for leather for playoffs. They're in good form as well. They had a huge result, beat Leeds at the weekend 2-1 to stop them from going top. So they're very good. Mark Robins, what a job he's done there. It seemed as well like this year would be more of like a rebuild year for Coventry as well, after losing like Jacques Carrez and who's the other one that lost
Hammer.
last? Yeah, Hammer.
Gustavo Hammer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also they've got the FA Cup semi-final the following week as well.
Yes, so it's faint hope, but I kind of hope that's almost a distraction for them. But I doubt it will be because they want to get in them playoffs, man. What a season they've had. So if we can get a draw there, I'd be really pleased with that. If we can get 4 points from the Coventry and the Cardiff games, that'd be an amazing return. Also, like, just our record against Coventry is awful. Like, they beat us 2-0 earlier in the season in December. It's mad to think that's like 4 months ago already. And then did they do the double overs last season? Trying to think. Coventry last season. Yeah, they beat us 2-0 at the end of the season. Did they beat us at St Andrews? No, it was 0-0 at St Andrews. And then they beat us 4-2 at their place, at our place, sorry, before that at St Andrews. And then I think we drew them away in the earlier game of that season as well. So yeah, so it's been like, I think since they got promoted, we haven't beaten them. I think the last time we might have beaten them would have been that never-ending cup game where we played them away and drew 0-0, and then we played them in the home game and drew 2-2 with a like 120th minute equaliser in extra time, and then we beat them on penalties. I think that was the last time we beat them. Tends to be low scoring games, other than that 4-2. But yeah, if we can get a draw somehow, I'd be all over that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be a tough game. It's weird to think, obviously, for most of our lives, Coventry have been rubbish. So, they were unlucky not to get promoted last year. So I think they'll fancy their chances if they get in the playoffs. We are playing again on Sunday with a 4:30 kickoff on Sky Sports. We're playing the league leaders, Arsenal at the Emirates. Hard to know how I feel about this game, really. We're not in, as I said, we've come off a really poor week. We don't know how the game midweek's going to go. So I'm not particularly confident. Arsenal are, since the turn of the year, have been in sparkling form, really. They haven't conceded a goal I think it's January, maybe,
I'm not
in the
sure on that,
league.
but I know I think the only points they've dropped in the league in 2024 were the Man City, was the 0-0 at Man City. But they were unbelievable at the weekend, weren't they, against Brighton?
Yeah, they were, yeah. So it's going to be really tough. Obviously, we beat them in the reverse fixture. It's not going to be quite like that. And maybe we were lucky to get away with 3 points that day. Any sort of point would be massive, and it'd be a point gained. I'm not feeling particularly confident, but if we've got all our players that can be fit and we play as well as I know we can, then you never know. Obviously, they're in the pressure of a title battle with Manchester City and Liverpool. So, and obviously being the 4:30 game as well, it's one of the last, I don't know if there's a Monday game, but basically we're the last game of the week. So whatever's happened in terms of the title race could have an impact in terms of the pressure that they feel going into the game. So, don't think we'll win. I think we'll lose 2-1, but I will happily be proved wrong, Villa.
No,
So,
I think that's fair. Yeah. They're
but I think it'll be close. I think we'll give them a good game, and we're probably not a team they want to face in this part running to the end of the season. But obviously, we're not in amazing form, so you never know.
Yeah, I know
But
you're playing on the Thursday, but they're also for them it's also sandwiched between the two huge Bayern Munich quarterfinals in the
yeah.
Champions League. So you never know. It'd be interesting to see how well they can maintain this form now as we go into the Champions League later stages as well and everything.
Yeah. They've got the balancing act of trying to go on a good Champions League run as opposed to maybe trying to win the league, as we're looking at, can we win the Conference League, or do we go for the top four, even though top five will probably be enough? We'll have a good idea after this European quarterfinals whether England are going to get that fifth place, and that all of a sudden could really take pressure off the end of our season in terms of the league. So big week, we'll see. Hopefully next week we're happier than we are this
Yes.
week.
Yeah.
We've got no EFL trophy to save us next week,
No,
so
no, no.
I don't think Jed Steer is going to be lifting another trophy at Wembley anytime soon, so in the next week. So, but yeah, if you have enjoyed today's podcast, I think we're pretty much wrapped up.
Yep,
So,
for sure.
5-star reviews, leave a like, subscribe on YouTube or Apple, Spotify. Check out the Second City stories that we've done before. I'm sure they'll come back as we hit the off season. So, I guess all that's left to say, Dan, is I'll see you next week and up the Villa.
See you next time. Shit on the Villa. Keep right on. See you next time.